snowpack is important to much of the world, especially here. We don't get much rain in the growing season, so we depend on snow slowly melting in the mountains to keep water flowing in our streams. Snow has lots of other uses, of course, including as a winter playground. But when there's little snow, there's no playground. So people connected to winter sports are joining together in a project called Protect Our Winters to work for action to curb and reverse climate change. We have two guests. One of them local, Hiram Toll, is the general manager of the Mount Ashland Ski Area with some stories to tell about his experiences there. Hiram, thanks for joining us again.
Always a pleasure, Jeffrey. Thanks.
And Mario Molina joins us by phone. He's the executive director of Protect Our Winters. Hi, Mario.
Hi, pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having us.
Can you give us the sketch on how Protect Our Winters formed?
Yeah, Protect Our Winters is an organization that was formed by a pro snowboarder, Jeremy Jones.
He was realizing that all across the mountains where he was snowboarding, there was glacier recession and the snowpack was changing. So he looked around for an organization that was bringing the outdoor community together to take action on climate change and realized that no such organization existed. And you know, the community, the outdoor sports community, is a kind of get out and do it kind of personality. So he decided he was going to found an organization himself. And that's how Protect Our Winters was born.
So is Protect Our Winters have members from all over the country or just the West or where?
We're a national organization. We've got members all over the country and also in Europe and Japan and Australia.
Okay, so you got a lot of coverage then. All right, we'll talk about the approaches and methods. Let me check in with Hiram Toll here and talk about how the season was for you at Mount Ashland this year. You've had some rough years. In fact, you arrived just after there was a no season, right?
Yeah, that's right. When I came in 2014, the mountain hadn't opened for a single day. It was the 50th year anniversary. You know, definite sad times. And then I was given an 87-inch year to try to pull things back together. And we managed to open for 38 days that year. So we were somewhat successful. We kept things moving on. But this year, yeah, winter came late was our problem. And, you know, that's often the, you know, with when you're looking at weather, you're looking at climate, you know, it's the ups and downs that really get you. And we've had our share of downs.
Indeed. So, and you got, in fact, you had a bit of a gap in this past ski season, didn't you?
Yeah, the majority of our days came in February and March. March we called Miracle March because that's what pulled us out of the fire. We ended up opening for 46 days this season, and that was on 169 inches of snow, our average being about 250 inches of snow now when we calculate, you know, when we pull in all those lower snow years that we've had. So, yeah, difficult season. It's difficult for all of our staff, certainly difficult for the community that's you know, looking for their winter playground.
So what do you do when you're just kind of sitting up there at the lodge or down at the office or wherever you happen to sit and look at the sky and think, come on, something?
Well, we remain positive. I mean, we were able to pull out a couple of parties that happened before the snow came, and we farmed some snow out of the parking lot, created a little jib park for our park rats that love to be up on the mountain. And so, you know, we adapt. You know, we look to do things that will allow us to open on lower snow, you know, whether that's, you know, more aggressive trail trimming or, you know, building some low snow decks. Or like I talked about, we literally farm snow out of the parking lot to move it to places on the mountain to keep the thing running.
Does it seem like it's a boomy busty kind of cycle that you're in now where you're going to get a lot of precipitation or not a whole lot?
You know, we have about 37, 38 years of snowfall data that we collect on the mountain. And if you look at the chart, I got it right in front of me here, it looks like a roller coaster. You know, it definitely have our ups and downs. You know, even back as into the 80s and 90s, definitely had some of the lowest snow years, a 71-inch year in 1990 and 1991 season. Certainly worse than anything we've experienced here, but it matters about how it comes in. You know, the year that Mount Ashland didn't open, the snow came early and then went away and didn't seem to want to come back. So those are the types of things that we sit down in the valley and look up at that beautiful mountain. And, you know, if it weren't for us being the second highest base elevation in the state, I think we'd have a lot more difficulties. Our base is about 6,300 feet, second only to Anthony Lakes up in the upper right-hand corner of the state.
So you're up there where things are going to fall as snow if the conditions are right.
Yeah, but Mario can tell you. I mean, there's you know, there's some fears that anything under 8,000 feet, you know, it's definitely suspect over the next you know, 50 years or so.
So Mario Molina, pick it up there. What is the? We're just talking to one ski area here in the studio, but you represent many, many, and I just wonder what the general trends are that are being noticed out there.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, just to be clear, I don't represent the ski areas, but we do follow the industry very closely. Earlier this year, we released an economic report that looked at the trend over the last 16 years. And what we see is that, you know, when we have below average snowfall years or later starts to winter, it has a serious economic impact to both ski areas and the mountain towns that depend on them. I mean, what we see, the trend that we see is very clear. We've, you know, now we are now in the 400th warmest on record month in history. So basically, if you were born after the year 2000, you have not lived on a below average temperature year yet. Every single year has been warmer than the previous, with 2016 being the warmest on record, 2017 being the second warmest on record. So what that means is, and this is the average global temperature, so what that means is that on average, temperatures are getting warmer around the world. And yes, we will still have some, you know, above average snowfall in certain geographies just because of the way that weather patterns move and, you know, jet stream oscillations, et cetera. But the trend is definitely going towards shorter, warmer winters in the long term. And so what we, you know, what we're trying to do is raise awareness about the issue and get the snowfall industry, which is a massive, massive industry that contributes billions of dollars to the economy, to come together and say, you know, and say, hey, we need to take climate change seriously. We need to address climate change with sound policies, but also start thinking about resiliency at a national level, and preparing for what will be shorter, warmer winters.
All right, shorter, warmer winters, the issue, which is what created, essentially, Protect Our Winters, or Mario Molina is the executive director. We also have in the studio Hiram Toll, who's the general manager of the Mount Ashland Ski Area, and talking about what can be done to mobilize the people in the winter sports community to point them in the direction of requesting or demanding action on climate change. Join the conversation here on the program, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Hiram, I wonder if on the ground you have people who are expressing some concerns to you, some customers and things like that.
Yeah, for the most part, they're just really happy about our efforts. You know, they realize the challenges and that we can't make the snow. We don't have a snowmaking system up there, nor is it likely that we'll be able to. So, no, obviously the concerns are around those low snow winters where, you know, either the quality of the skiing isn't quite up to par with what the, you know, Pacific Northwest expects, or it's just those shorter seasons. But, you know, for the most part, our season pass holders feel like they get good value because of those extra efforts that we take, that we put in to make sure that we can provide skiing and riding on as many days as possible. And that's really that's the direction of our board of directors. You know, we're a nonprofit ski area and, you know, we're a community resource. So it's pretty much about not going away and providing as much skiing and riding as we can for our guests.
If this were a for-profit ski area, do you think it might have folded by now?
I can almost guarantee it. Yeah, the nonprofit model is really important for smaller ski areas. You think about the effects of a warming planet. We're kind of like the canary in the coal mine. You know, we're the little guys are the feeder breeder mountains for the larger mountains. And, of course, the larger corporate ski areas can throw money at it with snowmaking and adapting to it. Where the smaller ski areas like us, I mean, we probably serve close to 500,000 people in the Rogue Valley, Northern California, you know, all the way up to, you know, out to the coast and all the way up towards even Bend. So, you know, that's pretty striking when you think about, you know, if those smaller ski areas go away, what's that mean for the industry at large?
So, Mario Molina, let's talk about the approaches that you want to take at Protect Our Winters. I have the list of seven things that you recommend at the website, beginning with find your biggest lever. That's intriguing. What does that mean?
Yeah, so on an individual level, we believe that everyone has a lever. And what we mean by a lever is a point at which they can engage and have an impact. So, for example, if you are a business person that if you're a resort, you can call the Public Utilities Commission and ask that they carry a higher percentage of their electricity in the form of renewable energy. We're working with a couple of resort corporations to move that request forward, and with Pacific Corp, for example, in Utah. If you're an individual that has a following, a social media following, like a lot of our athletes do, to engage your followers in civic action on climate, whether that be participating in public comments when there are public comment periods open, you know, such as there were for the Clean Power Plan by the EPA. And so every individual, every business has a lever point, basically something that they can mobilize, something that they can use to have an impact on this issue or to elevate their voice on the issue and make a difference. But ultimately for us, you know, we have both our 501c3, our nonprofit, Protect Our Winters, and we also run our sister organization, Protect Our Winters Action Fund, which is a 501c4. And the difference between those two is that this election cycle, our 501c4, Protect Our Winters Action Fund, will actually be engaging in certain elections in the midterms, asking people to consider climate change as one of their top priorities when they go to the voting booth. Right now we have, unfortunately, a Congress where inaction on climate seems to be the norm. And we know that we really have to take this matter seriously in the very short term, in order to curb the worst impacts of it, and for the U.S. to regain its leadership position globally on the issue.
So with the 501c4, will you be targeting specific candidates either for support or opposition? Are you going to put more general statements out there? What's the approach?
Yep, that's correct. We're going to be supporting candidates that have taken a strong stance on climate change action, and we're going to be asking candidates who have not taken a strong stance on climate change action to either do so or to step aside and really let people who have a vision for a renewable energy future and a sustainable planet to take the lead, because it's definitely time, and we don't have a lot of it.
Mario Molina, again, the executive director at Protect Our Winters. Hiram Toll, the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area. You can join us as we talk about climate change action as it relates to winter sports. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Are there any efforts that you do at Mount Ashland Ski Area politically to put the bug in people's ear about, you know, we'd like to see some action on one thing or another relative to climate change legislation or approaches?
Well, I mean, we're a 501c3, so we tend not to get political, but we do try to lead. And the way that we do that is we're trying to work with our electricity provider, you know, the folks that send us the electrons. You know, we can't necessarily deem or dictate what they use for energy sources. And right now, our provider is their profile is about 63% coal, 14% natural gas. So we're trying to do some things on the ground, like a year or so ago, we installed a 28 kW solar system that's offsetting about 12% of our electric usage. So we believe that the best electrons are the ones that we don't use. We're also involved in some energy saving projects and, you know, trying to be leaders. You know, if we have a lot to lose, you know, in the ski business. So, you know, we seem to think that we need to be leaders. And even at the small ski area level, you know, being a small nonprofit that is not fat with cash, we're still finding a way to make those changes locally.
So, Mario Molina, I noticed that one of the items on the list of steps you urge people to take at Protect Our Winters, number 6 is change your ways, and it sounds like Mount Ashland Ski Area is already doing some of that.
Yeah, Mount Ashland is, you know, an example of what we would like to see from the ski sports community, and it's acknowledging the issue, taking the steps that they can within, you know, within their scope of influence, and educating people about it while maintaining the business model. So, and I'd just like to add to that, it's really important for us to realize that renewable energy doesn't only make climate sense, it actually makes business sense. We've seen the price of photovoltaics drop by almost 90% over the last 4 decades. And both solar energy and wind especially are competitive with fossil fuel sources at market value in most markets in the U.S., I would say pretty much all markets in the U.S. So when we talk about making a transition to a clean energy economy, we're not just talking about making environmental sense. We're talking about making – it makes good business sense. A lot of our partner brands also have installed solar capacity at their own headquarters, and what they actually see is their energy and their electricity bills go down. So if we have an open playing field, if we actually have a free market economy for energy across the country, what we'll see is that renewables will outcompete fossil fuels in pretty much every single market.
Mario, is there one particular piece of legislation that Protect Our Winters is shooting for?
Yeah, so I like to say that there's not a silver bullet to climate change. There's not a single piece of legislation or a single solution that's going to address the whole issue. We need a silver buckshot. So, for example, when we were just talking about Ashland, we need efficiency measures, we need more renewable energy. But overall, what most economists agree would be the cornerstone and the pivotal point to drive a lot of these transformations would be a price on carbon. And it's whatever shape that takes. Economists like to say internalizing the externality. And it means society has for a long time agreed that we, as a modern society, do not condone dumping waste without a cost. We have to clean up and we have to pay for the cleanup of our cost. We're dumping 110 million tons of carbon dioxide or carbon dioxide equivalents into the atmosphere every day, and no one's paying for it. There's absolutely no cost for that pollution. So we argue that putting a price on that carbon pollution is actually the first step to an economic transition, a thorough economic transition to a clean energy economy. And that's what we're going to be pushing for both at the state level, and I know that Governor Jay Inslee in Washington has been a big advocate of a carbon price, and it's coming up for a ballot initiative in the state that we hope voters will turn out for and support. And there's other states that are doing it. So we know that at the federal level, we're not likely to see that kind of legislation come forward anytime in the near future, but we know that the states have a lot of power to implement those kinds of solutions and that kind of legislation in the next couple of years.
All right, yeah, California already there, Washington working on it, Oregon thinking about it, and could come up in the next legislative session in 2019. So lots to come, obviously, in climate action politically, and now we have winter sports enthusiasts joining together through Protect Our Winters. That's where Mario Molina is the executive director. Mario, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so very much for having us.
All right. And Hiram Toll is in the studio with me, the general manager at the Mount Ashland Ski Area. Always good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, Jeffrey.
All
thanks.
Right.